Can you hear us now? Can you hear me now? We have a little tech issue going on today, trying to work our way around it. Let us know when you hear the audio. It's always a little bit of a delay, but we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Yay! You can hear us now. It's going to be a little interesting day for us today. As you notice, the camera is a little bit different, and so is the setup. But JC's going to get it all fixed for us.
Yep.
The master. I believe. So hey, let's do experiment number two. Let's see how this works, if this works for you all. Okay, sure. Look at that, JC. Hot diggity dog. All righty then. Just wanted to give you guys a little update. We've been talking about the Arkansas Sovereignty Bill, which started off as an amazing bill and then was gutted by gutless legislators. So, backstory is the Arkansas's Sovereignty Bill asserted Arkansas as a sovereign state and then said, we're not going to be enforcing any federal gun laws, and we're not going to let you enforce any federal gun laws either. And the governor, Asa, you have a nickname in for him, don't you?
Asa Hackinson, Hackinson.
Asa Hackinson. So anyway, Asa, being the federal supremacist that he is, okay, we don't need these anyway. Being the federal supremacist that he is, told everybody that he was not going to sign it. He actually vetoed the bill, and then he got all the law enforcement all worked up into a frenzy. He got the prosecutors, the State Prosecutors Association, all worked up in a frenzy and said that if we pass this bill, it would threaten public safety and it would make it harder to cooperate with federal task force. And as our friends here at the 10th Amendment Center say, then also harder to participate in any unconstitutional federal war on drugs. So what you're seeing here is 10th Amendment Center's wrap up of what actually happened at the end of the day. So the Senate overrided the veto and said, no, we're going to have Senate Bill 298. But then the gutless House of Representatives, by a voice vote, postponed their vote to override, letting the veto stand. Then the House put forward alternative bills, which come to absolutely zero. And so our assessment here from our 10th Amendment Center friends about the Arkansas end result is pretty much they did said a lot, did very little, and nothing's gonna change. It could, and I talked to Michael Bolden about this. He's the president of the 10th Amendment Center, and he said that when they reviewed this law, they reviewed this law as it ended in the most generous way that they could, giving it the biggest benefit of the doubt. And the best that they could come up with is it could result in something. It could, but that's nothing. Because what they see in these bills when they gut them like this is that, guess what, guys? If you don't have a strong bill and you have a bill that's gutted with all kinds of loopholes, that is a very clear understanding that this bill will do nothing at all. So now that they've put forward HB 1957 to sign or veto, Governor Asa Hutchinson will have 20 days, excluding Sundays, to sign it if or veto it. If he does neither, then the bill becomes law. And that's where you have it, guys. It's a definite maybe possibility could, and I more likely will do nothing at all. So it could prohibit enforcement of some future federal gun control, but because of all the convoluted language, the vague loopholes, it probably will not do anything at all. Probably, JC, one of the best pieces of legislation that I have seen come through on the state level. Did you want to scroll that down or something?
No, I'm just taking in what they said.
Yeah.
Could prevent future actions.
Yeah. So,
I didn't see they said it would do nothing.
no. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what he's saying. He says that it could prohibit enforcement of some future federal gun control, but because of the convoluted language in the bill, it makes it uncertain if it will actually do anything at all. So, and the people who,
Uncertain,
yes, uncertain.
which includes still could.
Well, right, that's why he said could. But remember, Michael Bolden said they viewed this law in the most in the most generous way that they could. But in their experience, when this happens, it happens this way with the loopholes, the vague language and all that, so they won't have to do anything at all. And that's what the 10th Amendment Center says, that this is just simply extremely convoluted, leaving loopholes for law enforcement officers to continue enforcing federal gun control. So there you have it. But it's on future laws that have not been passed yet. So if the laws don't get passed, then this bill does nothing because they're still going to.
To what exists on
Right. What they, right, exactly. So if this gets passed, but no future gun control comes down from the federal government, then this law is worthless because this law says nothing about current federal gun laws. And that's why they gutted it, okay? So they gutted it because they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to enforce the state gun laws that referenced the federal laws. When in reality, all they would have had to say is add language to the bill that says the fact that we have found these federal laws to be null and void does not negate the state laws that reference them. And those federal laws can be severed from the state law's application because they have been found unconstitutional by the state. So I want to find that. I actually drafted the remedy language for this that would have allowed them to keep the bill, that would have allowed them to override the governor's veto and maintain the bill that they had. So,
Well, they could have done that anyway. They just didn't do it. I mean,
right.
they could have continued with the override and passed what they had. So they chose to water it down.
Right.
They chose to change it.
Right. Well, and then they could have, like I said.
It's fascinating. You get right
Right.
up to the last minute. You've got all the power you need to do it. And then at
Right.
the last second, they back down after pushing it all the way there. That's really bizarre.
So,
Really bizarre.
I mean, and it was a huge push. They had enough in the House and the Senate willing to override the veto. But then the State Prosecutors Association saw their federal dollar signs flying out the window. Federal, the local law enforcement saw their their federal dollars fly out the window because they wouldn't be able to engage in cooperations with the federal government. You know how much money these people get, right? And so here's the language that if they had adopted in the original SB, what is the name of this again? SB
298.
Okay. If they would have adopted just this paragraph in SB 298, they would have not had to gut the thing, and they would have stopped the argument presented by the prosecutor, stopped the argument presented by law enforcement. Here it is. Nothing in this law prevents the authority of the state to enforce state firearms laws that are constitutionally justified to punish criminal use of firearms as defined by state law and state constitution. Any state law that references federal statutes made null and void by this act are not diminished in their authority, as the referenced federal laws, having been found unconstitutional by this legislature, are therefore legally severed and determined inoperative, leaving the remainder of the state law operative and binding. It's a simple, very long one sentence, and they could have kept the whole thing. So that's that. So, Jason, have you seen the zombie mosquitoes are coming to Florida?
I heard about it.
Zombie mosquitoes. 750 million genetically engineered mosquitoes approved for release in the Florida Keys. How's that going to work out for us, JC? Let me, by show of hands, how many people in the audience have ever been to Florida in June or July, or in the South? They have them in Georgia now too, right? In Alabama, do they go that far north? I don't remember. And seen love bugs. Love bugs were a genetically modified insect planted here, grown here in Florida, to eat mosquitoes. The purpose of the love bug was to eat mosquitoes to stop mosquito-borne diseases, right? So that's the same thing that's happening here. Genetically, no, they're called love bugs, not June bugs. June bugs are like beetle things. These are love bugs, and they eat the paint off your car. Their bodies are so acidic, these love bugs, that they eat the paint off your car, and they don't eat mosquitoes. They don't even do anything they were supposed to do. So now these 750 million genetically engineered mosquitoes approved for release in the Florida Keys, which, by the way, I have found out the let's our state representatives, a good majority of them have no idea this is actually happening. They're like, what? What are you talking about, Chrisanne? We never heard about this. So all of this was approved by the Florida, the governments of the Florida Keys. That's it. They're the only ones that approved this. They didn't get, but it's endorsed by the EPA. So the EPA loves this. And what it is are the creation of male mosquitoes. It's 750 million genetically engineered male mosquitoes. So you don't have to worry, JC. The male mosquitoes don't bite. They just, you know, they're like butterflies. They just eat larvae, or they just eat nectar. And the idea is they will mate with other mosquito females. And then the theory is that when the mosquito females lay their eggs, all the women will die. So no female mosquito by the genetically engineered male mosquitoes will survive the larval stage. How is that going to work out for us? Why isn't that misogynistic? We're wiping out female mosquitoes.
Why wouldn't they use the other mosquitoes?
What do you mean?
The ones that aren't male or female.
Oh, the 267 what? Other gender
yeah,
mosquitoes?
Why is it? Do they not think it's weird that you can't find a mosquito that's not male or female? Does that not seem strange to them?
Well, you know, they're...
I mean, shouldn't if there are all these other genders, shouldn't you be able to find them other places?
Yeah, if you're born with other genders,
right?
then other animals should be born with other genders
So it
because
so
they
it's
think we're animals anyway,
right. So
right?
it's
So the whole natural.
seriously the assertion, right? Because follow the science. It's seriously the assertion that only human beings have more than one gender. No, I just find it fascinating. We're gonna take the male, and the male is gonna breed with the female. And that's all they're talking about, male and female. What happened to the other genders of mosquitoes? Where are
So
they? Just asking for a friend.
just asking for a friend. I'm just worried that the feminazis would be all, crazy because it's gender genocide. They're wiping out just the women and not the men. So it will now be a male
A
dominated,
patriarchal mosquito society.
a patriarchal mosquito society. Well, but you know what, Jesse? If we eliminate one gender, then the species ceases to exist. So all the
Good thing
feminazi,
there's more than two.
yeah, but those other genders don't make new creatures.
Don't make anything.
But all the feminazis
Because
want
they
to.
don't exist.
This is just a message to my feminazi friends out there. This story should be a clue for you. You want to get rid of the men. Sorry, if you get rid of the men, you don't get any new women. Okay? It's not possible. It just doesn't happen.
Well, I think they're just acknowledging that, you can't stop them from breeding.
So, it
So
says,
it's sterile reproduction.
right, sterile. Well, no. It's actually full on reproduction, but something happens in the larvae of the female that makes them die. That makes them die. So, here's what
Anyway.
with all the urgent crises facing our nation in the state of Florida, the COVID-19 pandemic, racial injustice, climate change, the administration has used tax dollars and government resources for a Jurassic Park experiment, says J.D. Hansen, public policy director for the International Center for Technology Assessment and Center for Food Safety. He says now, or she, sorry, they say now, now the Monroe County Mosquito Control District has given the final permission needed. What could possibly go wrong? We don't know because the EPA unlawfully refused to seriously analyze the environmental risks. Now, without further review of the risks, the experiment can proceed on the people of Florida.
I'm pretty sure that there are no screens around the keys. So how is this just a Monroe County decision? You're releasing flying creatures into the state. They're not going to stay in Monroe County.
No, they're not going to stay in Monroe County.
I mean,
They're not even going to stay in Florida.
first of all, who would want to stay in Monroe County? But anyway, they're not. This is great.
So,
follow the science.
follow the science. And so, it is absolutely an experiment, guys. Approved by the EPA in May, the pilot project, Monroe County, because they're not gonna, the little mosquito people are gonna know, the mosquito insects are like, we gotta stay in Monroe County because that's our boundaries for our experiment. The pilot project is designed to test if a genetically modified mosquito is a viable alternative to spraying insecticides to control the Aedes aegypti. It's a species of mosquito that carries several deadly diseases such as Zika, dengue, and yellow fever.
Chikungunya.
Chikungunya.
So it's not even all mosquitoes, just one type of
No,
mosquito.
right? So we're gonna let
Oh,
out
great.
750 million genetically modified mosquitoes. Texas. They're trying to get Texas to do this, and Texas is like, nah.
Well, it's coming to Texas. Yeah. When you turn them loose, they're going to make their way to Texas.
How many people sail from Texas?
I was about to say, you get
from Florida to Texas.
You get a few on a sailboat, they're going to get there. That's it.
By the way,
I don't think the love boat was genetically engineered. It was just imported.
Yeah.
And they thought it was going to do all these things. It never did. I think it was imported from Japan or something.
But they never did anything but eat the paint off our
cars.
Matt, come lay down. Hey, everybody. Mac is saying hello to you.
Mailmen need jobs too, buddy. Chill. Or Amazon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yes. So, anyway, there you have it.
How do they keep getting their ideas from every, you know, sci-fi and zombie?
Well, that's what I want right here. Seriously, we've seen this. Every science movie we've seen like this never turns out well. And we actually have real-life situations. Come in and say hello. Say hello, Mac. Everybody say hello to Mac. He wants to say hello. He's guarding the house from the evil mailman. So you have every sci-fi movie ever made, never turns out well. We have actual real life experiences with the whole, you know, love bug thing and who knows how many other stuff, right? And they don't, that didn't work either. So here's my question. How many times do we have to get it wrong before it does more than just eat paint off our cars? So the state of Florida, right? Here's where it says hit state approval. In June, the state of Florida issued an experimental use permit after seven state agencies unanimously approved the project. That's why our legislators don't know anything about this, people, because we have bureaucrats elected by no one approving scientific experiments on the people of Florida throughout the entire, which will spread to the entire state. So, I mean, maybe it's not the mailman. Somebody visiting us in the middle of our show. All right. This is an adventure. So, here we have the next story. This next story is like an I told you so kind of thing. And I wanted to share it with you just a little bit. This is just a short clip from a show JC and I did a year ago, almost a year ago today, actually. It was May of 2020. And I'm going to share this with you. Share audio. And I'm just going to play just a few seconds, because then I'm going to show you an article that JC is going to be seeing for the first time, but going to have great, great comments on. Here we go.
Kudzu. Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah, Kudzu. There you go. That was another great experiment on the American people. That came from Japan too, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, great. Great. Well, these mosquitoes allegedly came from England. So
that what we're seeing now is because of the shutdowns, there is a bottleneck of the American food supply. Our farmers are being told to euthanize the cattle they've been raising. They are already euthanizing chickens. They're aborting fetal pigs. And this page here, Kate Daly, this is from Kate Daly's website. Kate Daly is the host of The Kate Daly Show, a nationally syndicated radio show on Fox Radio Network. She's amazing. I'm on her show every week. Here is a picture of what's happening in America. Dairy farmers dumping, as that rancher said, hundreds of thousands of gallons of milk.
All right, so that episode, if you want to go back and look at it, is episode 1807. It is titled, What Never Was. There's also a short video clip on our web, on our YouTube page. It's also on chrisanhall.com, called Food Crisis Ahead, a year ago. Now I'm going to share this article from Zero Hedge for you. I'm going to let JC read it just a little bit too, because what we told you is coming a year ago is now knocking on our door. So this article on Zero Hedge by Michael Every is titled, "We Are Edging Closer to a Biblical Commodity Price Increase Scenario." This is incredible. He says, let me just lay the background. He says, "Yesterday's daily saw me float the model hypothesis that the Fed, the Federal Reserve, would like everyone to have all their money in stocks so they would have a practical mechanism for inflating and deflating the economy above and beyond the need to mess around with interest rates or QE or quantitative easing." He says, "Of course, this was a huge oversimplification. In particular, it overlooked housing. Why bother only inflating stocks when not everyone holds them, when you can do the same to housing, which everyone needs?" He says, "Lo and behold, yesterday's S&P prices were up 11%. Now watch this. Presumably, the matching rise in U.S. consumer confidence was driven more by stimulus checks in the mail than by rent checks going out the door or chats with realtors about affording a home in a country not exactly famous for its lack of available land." And so he goes on talking about all of this stuff that we're in for trash, is basically what he's saying. And I might have pulled up the wrong article by mistake. So let me go ahead and make sure I have this one. No, it's right. So what we have now is a supply chain problem with food. And here he says, I thought this was very interesting, JC. He says, "Presumably the matching rise in U.S. consumer confidence," I already read that sentence to you, he says, "yet surely the Fed is still missing a trick. Just switch to a digital currency like China, and assets can be turned on and off at will, and there's no need to go through with the pretense of inflating asset markets in lieu of the general economy."
Right.
So he's talking about digital currency.
Yeah, that's why they want a state. They want to move to a state-controlled digital currency and try to outlaw, all the other crypto digital currencies.
Yeah. Right. Right. But what's amazing is the agricultural thing that is hitting our American economy. It's all coming in. He says, now I'm not going to pretend to be a supply chain expert, but I do understand that lines on charts and numbers on spreadsheets reflect a real world. And I have even been to see some of these facilities in person. He said, "Years ago, I visited a hot, dusty Vietnamese port. The main warehouse was elevated so the largest trucks could pull up next to it and cargo slide in. Except half the ground below had subsided a few inches, as Southeast Asian soils do after the rainy season. And so the truck floor bed and warehouse lip were no longer flush. And each truck had to be filled far more slowly by manual labor. While there was plans to level the ground, I was told, for now only the cargo they liked got to use the good end." So, but not during COVID, he says. He says, "Well, luckily much of the time we can get away with just presuming these trade happens rather than accounting for the above antidote." But he says, "But not during COVID and not today. Actual supply chain experts," I love that, natural supply chain experts are saying they have never seen anything like what is currently happening. There is a total global logjam. Goods cannot be shipped in some cases, and supply side inflation on a scale we have not seen for a long, long time looks imminent. And that is on top of the weather-related disruptions edging us closer to biblical agri-commodity price increase scenario we discussed back before. It also sits alongside geopolitical problems like Saudi Arabia claiming an attempt was made to ram a ship filled with explosives into the Yanbu oil port, and the latest tit-for-tat episode in that region. So we are looking at a supply chain problem in America, all over the globe. And I am nowhere near being some supply chain expert, but not knowing any of this, we were able to see this coming a year ago. Because, as he says, COVID and the blockage of what's actually happening. He says, it's going to be even more surreal than usual to have to listen to the Fed warble on unemployment projections and then the market warble back about clues as to which particular month of which particular year might flag the potential start of a gradual process of perhaps not pushing up stocks and blah, 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 blah. But he says, look at this. In between, homes are becoming unaffordable. Rent is becoming unaffordable. Food is set to become far less affordable. And many other goods, too, not just in the United States, but everywhere. So all the crops, all the stuff we destroyed in the name of the COVID virus are finally going to catch up to us and create this problem. So the bottom line is this. Food's going to get more expensive. Housing, more expensive.
Already is.
I mean, anybody who...
Already catching up. People don't... Yeah. It's the stuff is slow and gradual when people don't notice.
Right.
So... It's always good to stock up and learn to live self-sufficiently.
Right, exactly. It's just, I don't know. How is it that so many people in America can be so duped and be like blinders? I mean, a year ago we said there's a food crisis coming. There's going to be a shortage. You cannot not see that when you're slaughtering the future food, when you're dumping the supply chain on the ground, that it's not going to catch up with you. Because we have people saying, well, I don't see it. We still have it at the store. Hello, you're seeing what was put into the system months ago. Now we're seeing the vacancy. Nothing being put into the system for months, and now it's going to be that empty space where we had nothing at all moving into the system. So if if you've been grocery shopping, you notice your bill climbing up. I used to think, how am I ever going to get out of the grocery store without spending $100? Now I think, how am I going to get out of the grocery store without spending $200? I mean, that's seriously, we buy the same stuff every week. We are not extravagant food eaters, and the bill is more. Oh, look, Charlotte says their shelves are getting empty. So does this cause like a run on the stores, like a run on the banks? People start noticing there's no food, and now we start stocking up on toilet paper again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then you look at the policies coming out of D.C., it's only going to exacerbate, things that we're suffering because of supply chain disruption and all this sort of stuff still going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, then you got to push in the behind the scenes, the new Green Deal, right? They're not passing it Congress. What they're doing is pushing it through the administrative agencies, which is going to make it even harder to get for farmers to do their jobs, for ranchers to do their jobs, for suppliers to do their jobs. It's going to be more expensive because now they have to jump through all of the regulatory hoops and all of that, which is also going to drive the food prices up.
Yeah. Well, pray for intervention.
Meanwhile, Bill Gates is running around buying up all the farmland. Because, you know, what's that all about? All right, so the final story for today.
Yeah, well, you can't keep enacting Soviet Union policies and not end up with the Soviet Union.
Right.
It's just,
yeah.
Hello. 2 plus 2 is 4.
But isn't this, JC? I mean, it's for us, it's just sort of, well, for me, it's just sort of surreal and bizarre. Maybe not so much for you, but having studied the communist takeover of Russia, the consolidation of farmland into the hands of single corporate entities was what they did before they came and took the people's guns.
Yeah.
Because if you control the food.
Right. Same socialist scheme. You know, if people understand the true, what socialism truly is, what the definition is, you know, it's consolidation in the hands of an elite oligarchy. So that's what happened in the Soviet Union. That's still what's happening today. They've gotten more more subtle and more crafty at what they do. But the same plan.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah. It is. Well, this is the only thing that I'm going to say about Biden's speech. Can I tell you, I didn't actually listen to it. Did you hear any of it, JC?
No, just reaction to it. I don't feel, I mean, I don't feel that like there's something compelling that I need to hear from him.
I don't watch presidential speeches, no matter who they are. So
no,
I'd rather read them later.
I kind of pay more attention to the puppet masters. Like, why do I need to listen to the puppet when I can go listen to the puppet master?
Yeah.
And what is he going to say? He's going to reveal some part of the plan that the puppet masters aren't talking. So I don't really like listening to him. He's an idiot. He's a puppet. So, you know, I can go and look at the sources. I mean, we know what he's doing. We know what the plan is. And I mean, you look at the pictures. I look at the picture of him standing there, and it just, you look at the ones behind him. You look at the two Leninists behind him, and you know, it just looks like his handlers overseeing the event to make sure he does what he's told.
See,
that's what the picture looks like.
What you don't realize is those are actually fake hands, and what they really are is they've got the real hands up his butt underneath the desk. Right. So the puppet masters are poking making him say what he has to say.
Yeah, I mean, look at Cameron. I mean, the look on, she always has the same look, but that look on her face, like, you know, wow, this guy really follows orders well. That is so impressive, Joe.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have to do or say anything. They just give him the script and he goes.
Well,
he carries out their plan.
I look at that picture, JC, and I don't see Biden in the position of political superiority.
No, absolutely not.
Why would
totally crap.
Why wouldn't you see that? I mean, seriously, I don't understand that. Maybe if I scrolled it down a little bit more, it would look better. Their looks are so condescending.
Yeah.
Just in their eyes, their looks are so condescending. Like, oh, isn't he sweet? You know, it's just.
No, he looks like the minion. Like they
exactly.
Look.
Exactly. Exactly.
The power's behind him.
Yeah.
So it's just. I mean, it's a great picture to really convey.
See,
the reality.
I'm beginning to rethink a position that I had, JC. I really, honestly believed that they were either going to whack him in the first year or they were going to have him removed for mental incapacity. But that picture shows me they don't have to.
No, he's really told them.
He, right, not only that, he actually shields them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have all the baby boomer Democrats, like in my father's generation, who believe that he's a good union man, that he's a good American. They would never support Kamala Harris or Nancy Pelosi. First off, they think Nancy Pelosi is some hacky bee, right? And they know Kamala Harris is a communist. They know she is. So the baby boomers that are worshiping who put Biden in office.
Pelosi looks like a corpse.
She, yeah, well, she is a corpse. I don't know. She's like right up there with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I didn't know how she ended up staying in all that time. But here you have a situation. Like I said, I'm just rethinking my whole thing. I don't think they're going to do anything with him because he provides cover and support. If he goes away and Kamala Harris becomes president of the United States, there's nothing going to hold this government together. Nothing. Because the people that are Democrats who are conservative in thought and mind are only supporting the Democrat Party because Joe Biden is in the presidential office. You lose their support when Kamala Harris becomes president, and that's not how that works.
Yeah. No, he's a good puppet. I mean, you hear him carrying the, you know, he's carrying their water. He talks the whole BLM racist narrative. And
right.
The guy's a total racist.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
my God.
The guy himself, you go look, I mean, listen to him over 40 years. The guy's a racist. And so now he's carrying the BLM narrative and you know, putting out all their talking points. So he's a total stooge for these anti-American subversives, these socialist radicals.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, as long as his vitality remains, he's there because he's serving his purpose.
Right.
But he's totally weak. I mean, that's the thing. He's absolutely spineless and just, they tell him what to do. And I mean, the world, I think real bad guys look at where we are now, mm-hmm. you know, see America as so weak. This guy's weak. He's pathetic. Just the guy's a joke.
Yeah. Well, this part of his speech I wanted to discuss about his universal pre-K preschool meal program teacher training. Okay. So on the eve of his, this is actually from Education Week, right? This is the politics section, K through 12, politics K through 12. How do you have an education publication who knows that K through 12 is ruled by politics and not education, right? Because that would just be offensive to begin with.
I think his education, the head of his education stuff said there's no such thing as an apolitical classroom.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything's political.
So on the eve of his 100th day in office, this publication says, President Joe Biden proposed an ambitious 1.8 trillion American families plan that would expand universal pre-kindergarten access and make it easier for high poverty schools to serve free meals and fund programs to train and support teachers. It baffles me that people would believe that we don't have a free meal program in poverty schools. They exist already. Okay. As a matter of fact, we are feeding three meals a day in these high poverty school districts. So I don't know what it would make it easier for them to do that, what that even means, easier to serve free meals. Does that mean that they have better gloves to hand the free meals over because they're already got free meals? Anyway, he says the package served as the centerpiece of Biden's address to a joint session of Congress Wednesday. Blah, 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 blah. And Biden says this, quote, "We can't be so busy competing with each other that we forget the competition is with the rest of the world to win the 21st century. To win that competition for the future, we also need to make a once-in-a-generation investment in our families and in our children."
Do people actually buy the stuff?
Yes.
So we're gonna compete with the rest of the world by giving out free lunch.
Yeah.
Free and reduced lunch is what makes America great.
Makes kids smart. Okay.
Well, I mean, I know, you know, if you eat breakfast and all that, you can study better, focus better.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, that's his massive plan.
Our problem, but they have, you see, this is it. They free already lunch. Have free lunches, but the education still sucks. Okay.
Right.
So Biden pitched the plan, adding 4 additional years of free education,
what?
2 in early childhood, and 2 years of community college. So before, now it was pre-K 4. Now it's going to be pre-K 2, right? So parents don't have to raise their children at all now. You can just hand them over to the state as state wards. Well, I don't even know why we just have kids in public schools ever come home.
Yeah.
Why don't we just make them boarding schools where you just turn the kid over at 2, and then they graduate from the government after 2 years of community college.
No, it's like Huxley's Brave New World.
Yeah.
You just have birthing centers.
Yeah.
Just create, you know, drones for the state.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's what the public school system does.
Yeah.
Creates drones for the state.
Right.
Listen to what Biden says.
There it is. So his plan is Huxley's Brave New World. So yeah. This is, I mean, without the whole sort of sci-fi mixing, you know, whatever went on in that novel. But it is impractical, in now, a practical sense, this is what his plan
now
is.
Now you see why Brave I titled New this show about sci-fi happening in America today? Yeah. I mean, you've got mutant zombie mosquitoes. You have food crisis happening. We're going to start making fake meat now. We got to grow meat in a laboratory. That's what we're pushing here, people, because remember, Biden said you're only supposed to have 1 hamburger a month. We got to cut out the amount of meat that we eat. And so then we have to use lab meat, right? So this whole sci-fi thing. Now we're growing babies for the state. Biden says, "When this nation made 12 years of public education universal in the last century, it made us the best educated and best prepared nation in the world?"
No.
But the world is catching up.
Because you're teaching crap. You're teaching garbage.
No. The world is not catching up to us. We're falling backwards. The only reason we had a leg up in education was because we actually taught our children before compulsory education.
Well, before the communists took over.
In 1885.
I mean, come on, we need more of the garbage that's being taught in public education in order to be more competitive with the rest of the world? Are you insane? You give people more of what they're getting in public school, you're going to fall farther behind. Let me tell you, the answer to compete and be educated and prepared in this world is not more of public education. Let me tell you the answer. The answer is close the freaking doors of public education from 2 years old to college.
Yes.
If public education, look, can I say this one more time? I'm going to make a freaking t-shirt out of this. If public education shut down tomorrow, it would be one of the greatest days in American history.
Look at the literacy rate before compulsory education. I already know the numbers, but this is sort of like a homework for you. Look at the literacy rates before public compulsory education. before the Marxists took over in 1885, look at the literacy rates. Our literacy rates were like anywhere from 80 to 90%, even in our economically suppressed parts of America. 80 to 90% in Black communities prior to the Marxist takeover of our education system.
For
12 years, Biden says, is no longer enough today to compete in the 21st century. You know why? Because we're not globalizing our children enough to compete with the 21st century. We're not making our children mindless enough to go along with the globalist takeover plan and to support a singular government takeover of the world.
There's a couple of great books, one called Why Johnny Can't Read, and another one called None Dare Call It Education. And you can find a lot of the history of the founders of the modern American education system.
What was that other book called?
None Dare Call It Education. These people created an educational system to promote illiteracy.
Yes.
Illiteracy.
Yes. So the father of modern education, John Dewey, said that our education system puts way too much effort into literacy, that it causes eye strain and makes people solitary and idle, which makes them unproductive social components of a society.
Right. They needed to be good factory workers.
Yeah.
So let's not educate them too much. That, I mean, that's the basis. That's the philosophical basis of the modern American educational system. You need more than that. For over 70 years, they used a method to teach reading. We've seen it in school with kids. Last 10 years, you probably remember it in your school. But they used a method of reading called the look-say method. Was a method developed to teach deaf kids how to read. That's what they used for over 70 years in the public school system, not teaching any sort of phonetics. What kind of idiots are there that build an entire system of literacy in the school system on that? I mean, this, and you wonder why for decades and decades, we graduated children in the American education system with a 50% illiteracy rate. Yeah. The educational system is built to make people stupid drones who are controllable in this communist system. That's the whole point of it. We don't need more of that. We need less of that. In fact, we need none of that.
If you don't know about the Marxist takeover of our education system, you need to go to my website, chrissanhall.com. You need to read this article, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future. This is actually an informal presentation that I gave in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, many, many years ago, based on information, facts found in Charlotte Iserbitt's book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down in America. The stuff that got Charlotte Iserbitt fired from the Reagan administration right here at chrissanhall.com, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future. All you have to do is go to chrissanhall.com. You can hit the search engine and then enter in Stolen Education. It will bring you this article. And then you can read it and see what we're talking about. This is not conspiracy. This is not anything made up. These are actual facts. And more, look, 12 years is no longer enough today to compete in the 21st century, Biden says.
You know, honestly, you basically teach a person to read, mm-hmm. teach them basic math, turn them loose. They can learn everything else they right. need to know. It's amazing to me, some of the great, you know, the great entrepreneurs and, you know, business leaders, people who've accomplished incredible things in business and many other areas, never finished high school. Some never even went to high school.
Benjamin Franklin was 16 years old when he was writing in Silence Do Good. He didn't have a universal pre-K program.
Yeah, come on. Are we saying people are smarter now than guys like Benjamin Franklin? Give me a break.
So the two proposals, I love this. The two proposals.
Biden is obviously a product of public schools.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue about that.
So am I, but I started. Here's the thing. I started learning after school, right? Yeah. Once I'm done with school. I mean, who can say that?
I started learning after law school.
Who can say that public education taught you what you need?
I mean, give me the same t-shirt again. Why do we keep doing that? People are going to think we like coordinate out.
You can have one too at godgunsliberty.com.
Get your liberty at it. Godgunsliberty.com.
Yeah,
I actually like just typing God, Guns, Liberty into the Google search engine just because I know it makes them angry.
So. Today, you don't even need a library card.
Right. Just
Google whatever or search whatever. Well, don't Google it. DuckDuckGo, whatever you need to learn. And boom, there you go. I like the site. I don't know if you guys ever heard this site, LibriVox, LibriVox, LibriVox. I think it's .org. But they read books, you know, make audio books and have this massive catalog of free audio books. I mean, it's a great place. You just read all kinds of stuff.
Is that where we were reading Utopia today?
Yeah, we're listening to Thomas More's Utopia, which is fantastic.
Brilliant.
I think
brilliant.
It needs to be
put it on your reading list. Put it on your reading list, Thomas More Utopia. It is, and if you get the audio book version, you will be in stitches. It is absolutely hilarious. Let's finish this. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Eric,
but your mom, who needs public schools? Your mom will tell me, your mom has been telling me for 25 years about how you were a kid walking around reading encyclopedias and stuff all by yourself.
It's so. Certainly not because of public school.
Yeah. All right. So two proposals would help fill Biden's campaign promises to surge new funds to K-12 education and childcare programs. The new calls for big federal spending. Imagine that. Big federal spending packages. Because kids are dumb because we don't put enough money into education systems. That's the thing that ticks me off. Because you and I have both worked in private Christian schools where teachers made a fraction of what public school teachers make with no pension, no tenure, and no insurance. And the children came out exponentially more educated, right? Because it's money, right? To the enactment of the American Rescue Plan, which provided nearly $130 billion in COVID-19 relief aid to K-12 schools, $200 billion for universal high-quality preschool, $1.9 billion to pay for 2 years of free community college, because it's free if the government's paying for it. I don't know, $9 billion to, oh, here we go. This is the great one. $9 billion to train, equip, and diversify American teachers.
Can I tell you, Mr. Joe Biden, can we admit Mr. Joe Biden is pushing the socialist agenda harder than the American Kenyan ever dreamed of doing?
Yes. This is serious.
The Hawaiian Kenyan.
You want to know how you take over the education system? You use $9 billion of socialism to train, equip, and diversify American teachers.
$109 billion.
Grow your own programs that help paraprofessionals become full-time teachers. Grow your own communist. Grow your own socialist. Grow your own government addict. Teacher residency and leadership programs. $45 billion to expand nutrition programs. Hey, JC, this is actually part of the communist system that was established in 1906. Let me show this to you guys really quick. This is from that education, stolen children, stolen future article. Okay. The National Education Association, the beginning of the teacher union in 1906, chartered by Congress by the Rockefeller Foundation in 1906, created Educational Policies Commission, and in 1932, this NEA published a document titled Education for All Youth with the following goals to solve problems in the educational system and working toward the new progressive education. Federal programs for health, education, and welfare combined into one bureau. Head Start programs, 1932. getting preschool children into the system, youth services through poverty programs, removal of local control of political and educational matters without seeming to do so, and then we pump our schools with perversion and sex education, perversion guised as sex education. So then they pop out babies that are, well, they get pregnant and then they're taught they can kill the babies. And then we teach a disregard for life and breed self-loathing into the children of our society and the future of society. And that was the Communist Manifesto program developed by the Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundations in 1932. That, by the way, what I just read to you, that, by the way, is what Biden is talking about when he says what we've done in the last 100 years through our education program. So that's what we've done.
Same script. Doing it again.
Still doing it. Still pushing it.
Yeah, no different.
Because Dewey, Thorndike, Wundt, Stanley Hall had a 100-year plan. They knew they were not going to free communists overnight. They knew they needed a 100-year plan to do it.
So Joe Biden and his administration is pumping in nearly $2 trillion to that entity, which has been the greatest threat to the Republic for the last century.
Yes.
American education.
Meanwhile, $109 billion to pay for free community college for all Americans, including undocumented immigrant students protected through the DREAM Act. Right? So now not only do we have to train up Americans to be communists,
open
we have to
border,
bring more communists in.
Open the border, bring them in, give them free education.
Yeah. Because you and I are paying for that. By the way, if they're undocumented immigrants, they're not paying any taxes, people. They're not contributing to the system. They're sucking dry. And that's the truth. All right, guys. I think that should be the end of the show today.
I think I need to go slap somebody.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Please remember to share. Share, share, share. Hit the like buttons right now. Pound those things. Hit the bell so you don't ever miss a show. But you've got to share because nobody's telling this truth like we are. So thank you guys for joining us today. We will see you, God willing, tomorrow.